Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving. On Thanksgiving, how many of you feast? I don't mean eat. I mean feast. Or maybe if you don't feast any longer, you know, maybe that was part of the narrative in the past, but maybe now you just remember a time when you used to feast. I, for one, can't wait. I can't wait. It's the one day a year I can justify getting absolutely stuffed. You know, there are plenty of days throughout the year that I eat enough to satisfy my hunger. And that's great. And there are plenty of days throughout the year where I actually overeat, and that's fun too. But this is the one day. Stuffed. I'm so excited. For me, Thanksgiving is not accomplished until you eat so much that you can't physically eat another niblet. It makes you almost nauseous to think about putting another piece of food into your mouth. That is the perfect Thanksgiving. That is, unless there's dessert, because let's be honest, there's always room for dessert. I love Thanksgiving. And so tomorrow on Thanksgiving, what are you planning to stuff yourself with? Will it be turkey? Maybe roasted or deep fried or turducken? Or what about potatoes? Sweet potatoes, cheese potatoes, mashed potatoes, baked potatoes. You got green beans, buttered or casseroled, pie, apple, chocolate, pumpkin, lemon. Take your pick, right? Everybody has their Thanksgiving favorites. Or maybe you won't fill yourself with food. Maybe, like I said, maybe the feasting part of your life isn't really going on anymore. And so maybe what you'll do is you'll fill your eyes with football. You see, that's a narrative that happens in my family. You know, growing up outside of Detroit, the Detroit Lions have been playing football for nearly 90 years on Thanksgiving Day. Or maybe you prefer the Dallas Cowboys, who've been playing for over 50. For some reason, football and Thanksgiving just seem to go hand in hand. Or maybe tomorrow you'll get your fill of laughter and games and fun, and you'll be gathered with family and or friends. And after the day has come and gone, the events of tomorrow will fill your brain with memories, thoughts of Thanksgivings gone by. Maybe tomorrow you're going to add something else to reminisce about next Thanksgiving. It all sounds so very much like what the Lord has written for us in Deuteronomy. He says, "You will eat bread without scarcity, and you shall eat and be full." Now, strictly speaking, these words, they were written for the people of Israel who had sort of wandered around the desert for 40 years. And here God renews his covenant because all of those people sort of spurned God's providence. And so they had to wander the desert, and that whole generation died off. And so as this new generation is coming, God renews his covenant. He renews his promises with this generation that actually will enter the promised land. And part of that renewal, part of that promise, is that they're going to be well provided for in Canaan. They're going to be well provided for. And it's all too familiar, isn't it? It's all too American, don't you think? We eat our fill. We have all we want. In fact, we've already eaten it. We're full. We're full of food. We're full of fun. We're full of entertainment. We're full of prosperity. We have so many blessings given to us in this country that it's almost absurd. We're literally stuffed with them. And what's more, but we're not only provided for physically. You know, as Christians, we know that we're well provided for spiritually too. We've been given all that we need to sustain us into eternal life. Jesus has shed his blood. He has died. He has been resurrected. He gives us everything we need to enter heaven. He gives us everything we need for forgiveness, for life, for salvation. We've been given the means to receive his sacrifice. We've been given the word. We've been given the sacraments. We not only receive forgiveness in one way, But we have sort of this proverbial three-course meal set before us. We have the word that's delivered into our ears, declaring you forgiven, and so you are. We have the water of baptism that is poured onto somebody's head, and it promises salvation. We have the Lord's Supper to sustain and strengthen our faith, and again to remind us and to further deliver to us that forgiveness. Physically, stuffed. Spiritually, stuffed. It's wonderful. See, the Lord promised that Israel would lack nothing. And he's promised us the same. He will give you every good thing, both now and into all eternity. That's what he's promised. And that's what he's doing even now. But this is where we need to be careful. Because the truth is that we do. We live in a time of prosperity. We live in a time of good. And you know, all of the sort of atrocities we see, they're all in our peripherals, right? Very seldom are they close to home. And when Israel went through times of prosperity, they tended to forget the Lord. It comes naturally for us to take our physical blessings for granted. Israel, for instance, you know, we mentioned how, you know, one generation of Israel sort of spurned God's providence. Well, you guys remember Egypt, right? Israel enslaved in Egypt, and what does God do? He provides them with Moses. He provides them with the 10 plagues. He provides them with a way out of slavery. And then as they sort of get led away to the Red Sea, they're stuck again. And what does God do? But he parts the Red Sea and he provides them a way to freedom. And from there, they sort of mosey on over to the Promised Land. And it took them a very short amount of time to forget that God is bigger than Pharaoh's army, that God is bigger than anything that they have faced in the last 400 years. And they send spies into Canaan. And the spies come back and says, these people are huge, they're giants. I mean, certainly it's a great place. They brought back fruit that they could all try and eat, and it was wonderful. But they didn't believe that God would help them conquer the people who lived there. They doubted that God would provide. And so they had to wander the wilderness. And guess what God did for them in the wilderness? He continued to provide. He gives them manna to eat that's on the ground in the morning. He gave them quail to eat. That way they would have meat in their stomachs when they sort of got sick of all that manna stuff. God provided for them over and over and over again. And how did they respond? They grumbled. Constantly complained to Moses. Well, today there are those who are stuffed with physical blessings too. And they forget the one who gave it to them. The one who has provided them with able bodies and intellect in order to serve vocations. They forget that God has provided them with all that they need to support this body and life. And yet then when they see something shiny and new that they would really like to have and don't want, then they pray and they grumble against God because he hasn't yet provided it. We're not really that far off from the people of Israel. Then there are those who are sort of stuffed with forgiveness, life, and salvation. And the truth is they've been baptized and confirmed and fed with the supper and heard the promises in church. And they know the promise of God so well. And where does it lead them? But to complacency. They begin to think that it's not that big of a deal to skip an opportunity to receive God's blessing. And still there are more who are filled with God's blessings, either spiritual or physical, and yet they just fail to see God altogether. The unbelievers in the world. My friends, the Lord has written down the words of Deuteronomy 8 for you. And especially so that you don't fall into the same sin. So I'm going to read them for you one more time. The Lord your God has brought you into a good land. A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. My friends, everything we have and everything we are is pure gift from God. Gifts that we receive because Jesus has paid our price on the cross. Gifts we receive because he has redeemed you with his blood. Because he took your place as a sinner and you receive his place as someone who gets God's blessings. On this Thanksgiving, we ought to recognize that without Jesus, we got nothing. Neither physical nor spiritual blessings. And that's why Jesus is the greatest thing to be thankful for. Today, tomorrow, every day that we walk this earth, even the days when we're in heaven, Jesus is the reason for everything that we are and everything we do. He emptied himself for you. He poured out his blood for you. And at the same time, he poured into you every blessing of God, so that he could be the one lacking and you could be the one who was full. I know we're still a day early, but even now, Thanksgiving is accomplished, perfected, because you have reached a point where the Lord has filled you with every blessing. In the name and for the sake of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your thanksgiving in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.